What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. Finding the next league-winning running back, that is what we're aiming to do in this video. We're going to go through everything it takes to be a league winner, and using this exercise, we were correctly able to predict the breakouts of Breece Hall, Travis Etienne, and Jahmyr Gibbs last year. It proved mightily effective. Hopefully, we can hit at the same clip again this year. Hitting on one of these dudes can produce a massive, massive advantage to help you guys dust your idiot league mates and win your fantasy football championships. This is year four of me doing this exercise. I already did it for the quarterbacks. We'll be doing it for wide receivers and tight ends probably next week. As always, if you get some value from this, leave a like, comment down below on your thoughts, subscribe to the channel if you're new. If you want our draft guide, you can get it for free by checking out the link in the pinned comment. Now let's get into it. All right, so if you guys are new to the channel, what we're doing, this is the fourth year of me doing this, is breaking down the anatomy of a league-winning running back, a guy who scores 20-plus PPR points per game, looking at their volume-based factors. What did it take for them in terms of carries per game, targets per game, receptions per game, touchdowns per game, all that kind of stuff to get to that level of dominance in fantasy football? History is our best indicator for future breakouts. If you don't follow history, you're bound to repeat it, as they say, and as you guys know on this channel, we typically like to be very picky with running backs, so this video, more than the other ones, is really important to get right, because if you do predict a good league-winning running back and you go light at the position, you can really, really hit big and make it a huge advantage over your league mates, because running backs really bust at a high rate. So if you pick them properly, this can be very profitable. So Zach from Fantasyland, who's a member of our site over on Flock Fantasy, wrote a great article about his number one draft strategy this year. And basically, the basis of it was he found that running backs gave you a top six season in points per game just 26.3% of the time over the last 5 years in round one, versus wide receivers give you a top six season at wide receiver at 55% of the time. So this position is very bust prone. It's also very effective when you can hit on it. And as we know, volume is the most predictive fantasy football stat for running backs. As they say, volume is king. So we are going to take the volume averages of the past league winners from 2013 to 2023. So we got like an 11-year sample size here, who finished with at least 20-plus PPR points per game, who also played at least 12 games during the season. There was 32 running backs that fit the description, including both Christian McCaffrey and Kyren Williams this past year. As you guys can see, you've probably heard of some of these seasons. This year, Christian McCaffrey was a dude. 2021, it was Jonathan Taylor. 2020, we had Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, those type of guys. 2019, Christian McCaffrey. 2018, Todd Gurley. You guys probably remember these seasons. The first table, as you guys can see, indicates how much volume it took for each of these guys on a per game basis to achieve their league winning status. And of course, none of these guys were really perfect. It's not like everybody had 20 plus carries, 10 plus targets, and scored 17 touchdowns that season. Some guys got there in different ways than others. Green indicates that they exceeded the averages of these 32 running backs. Yellow indicates that they met the averages of these 32 running backs, and red indicates that they fell well below the averages of these 32 running backs. This is what we're looking for. When we draft a guy in the first round or the second round or the third round of a fantasy draft, we want them to have this type of upside because these guys are league winners. They're the guys that single-handedly can carry you to a fantasy championship. We want one of these dudes, the guys that when you're going up against them in fantasy matchups, You are scared shitless of 2023 Christian McCaffrey, of 2018 Todd Gurley, because you know they're basically a lock to go off for 25 points every single week. The averages, as you guys can see them on the screen, were 17.3 carries per game, 5.6 targets per game, 4.34 receptions per game, 21 overall touches per game, and about a touchdown per game as well. On a paced 17-game average, we're talking like 300 carries, just under 100 targets, 73 receptions, 350-plus touches, as well as 15-plus touchdowns. But volume isn't everything, right? Sometimes running backs can get carried by their situation, and sometimes their own individual talent is enough to make them a lot better in fantasy than their raw volume output would indicate. So I tested plenty more than these factors, but these proved to be the most predictive. At running back, sometimes it's fun to think that, you know, running backs who are good at forcing missed tackles, or running backs who have a high PFF rushing grade, or running backs who perform well in rush yards over expectation are predictive measures. And those are all an indication that a running back is talented. But that stuff varies year over year. It's not really heavily correlated or sticky in terms of points per game performance. As you guys can see, this chart was tweeted out by Ryan Heath, who I had on the channel last week. And as you can see there, all of these predictive metrics in terms of what correlates to fantasy points per game, what is sticky year over year, and what correlates to being predictive for next season, they're all volume related. Fantasy points per game, weighted opportunities per game, snap share, yards from scrimmage, total touches, total touchdowns, rushing yards, rushing attempts, rushing touchdowns, target share, routes run. Everything is volume and opportunity related at the running back position. So when you combine the notion that everything is volume related with testing things like how good of an offense are they in, how good is their offensive line, how talented of a player are they, how many games is their team projected to win, that type of stuff, how old are they, are they likely to get injured? When you combine that stuff with their volume projection, you get a very good, easy formula, honestly, to predict the next best fantasy running backs. And I would say of all the fantasy positions, running backs are actually the easiest to predict. The only problem is the chaos of the season, the fact that this position gets injured, often leave us wanting more. For example, last year, I thought J.K. Dobbins was a great projection. He goes out week one and tears his Achilles. There's nothing we can do about that, but we did, I would say, have the right process by saying he was a decent target in last year's drafts. The averages of these situational factors were basically you wanted these guys to be on about a top 10 offensive rank in points per game, top 10 offensive line in terms of run blocking, a 10-plus win team ideally. Age, you want them to be about 25 or younger. Yards per carry, yards per touch, all indications kind of talent and situation all coming together. You want them to be efficient running backs, 4.5 yards per carry or more. Yards per touch, about 5.5 yards per touch or more. So very few running backs, like I said, are going to check every single box, volume, situation, team success, all that kind of stuff. But the more boxes they check, the better picks they are. The path to elite fantasy seasons in years past is usually one of these two. Number one, you have the typical PPR guy, Christian McCaffrey, Todd Gurley, Austin Eckler, Alvin Kamara. Those guys have proven that in recent years, if you're an 80-plus, 100-plus target running back, you absolutely have a huge ceiling, especially if you're also getting a ton of work on the ground and scoring a lot of touchdowns. And then number two, the other path that you can usually take is carry and touchdown volume is enough to get you there. Even if you're not a pass catcher like Jonathan Taylor, like Dalvin Cook, like DeMarco Murray, or like Derrick Henry, you could still get there on the basis of sheer talent, sheer dominance on the ground, as well as in the red zone. So now that we know what we're looking for, let's get into this year's landscape of fantasy running backs. The top 36 current running backs in ADP is what we're going to break down here, determining who could be the next league winner, who are the potential landmines, who are the lower ceiling type of guys. And of course, like I said at the beginning, if you want all of our rankings, draft strategy advice, it's in our draft guide, which you can get right now by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using the promo code FSE. You'll get our draft guide totally for free, emailed to your inbox within a few hours by just depositing $10 or more. And if you already have an Underdog account or you can't play Underdog where you live, you can go to flockfantasy.com, use the code FSE over there for 30% off and a 7-day free trial. And also, we have a la carte purchases now live on the site. You can ask us trade questions. You can get your team reviewed if you want to check that out. And site subs actually get a nice discount on those services. And we will have start-sit questions come the regular season. So Top 36 running backs. Let's start with running backs 1 through 6. Christian McCaffrey, Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jonathan Taylor, and Saquon Barkley. These guys are the top 6 running backs for a reason. They project quite well. For each of these guys, they are kind of subjective rankings, so I'll try and explain my rationale behind it, but I did use legitimate data points. Like, for example, team wins. I looked at their Vegas win total. I looked at their strength of schedule. I looked at additions and losses this offseason, coaching, so on and so forth. I do also have injury ratings listed here as well, because those definitely factor in at the running back position. Ideally, we want young running backs with minimal injury risk who both raise the ceiling and raise the floor of their fantasy football projections. So, starting with Christian McCaffrey, his only concern is age, really, honestly. He has a great team, great offense, good situation to be in, elite pass catching upside. He's probably a future Hall of Fame talent. His really only concern is the fact that he's older and has a lot of touches under his belt and therefore more likely to suffer injuries. But if you're okay with that, he's definitely very worthy of going 101 or top three in your fantasy drafts. Bijan Robinson, the Arthur Smith offense is now gone. Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix are huge upgrades at quarterback. So both of those factors being changed from his projection last year are there to raise the ceiling of the offense, raise the ceiling of Bijan Robinson. He has really no concerns, in my opinion. Obviously, projecting a workload increase might be a concern to some people, but as I've documented in years past, year two running backs are what we want to bet on as far as projection of a workload increase, especially when you're Bijan Robinson, who was a top 10 NFL draft pick, elite receiving back, had a great season last year, all things considered, with the Arthur Smith situation and the fact that he wasn't getting red zone work and he had a bottom five quarterback situation in the league. Now that he has those upgrades, he has honestly a higher ceiling than Christian McCaffrey. I'm not going to say he's RB1 in fantasy because CMC is just that good, but all three of these top guys, and I'll get to Breece in a second, are superstar level projections, all capable of performing 23, 24 point per game, legendary upside type of seasons. Breece Hall was also nearly a 20 point per game scorer last year in a situation where Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, and Trevor Siemian were his quarterbacks, where he had a horrible offensive line and he pretty much had to do everything himself. He has legendary upside if Aaron Rodgers plays anything close to the Aaron Rodgers we've seen in years past, and these new additions on the offensive line are able to stabilize that unit, because Breece Hall, of these three guys, has the best combination of youth, target upside, proven ability in the NFL, as well as now a better offensive projection. So for me, Breece Hall is my RB2 overall in fantasy, but with all three of these guys, McCaffrey, Bijan, and Breece, I'm comfortable spending a top 6, top 7 overall pick in a fantasy draft on these dudes, and they project very, very good. They're absolutely nails projections. Jahmyr Gibbs, his only question really is workload, because again, I'm comfortable projecting a workload increase for a second-year running back, because 9 of the last 10 biggest workload increases we've seen since 2016 have come from year 1 to year 2 running backs. But he does still have the concern that David Montgomery is going to vulture him in the red zone. But again, it's a great offense. Jahmyr Gibbs is a great player. He has high, high upside as a receiver. So he is still somebody I'm willing to spend a late first round, early second round draft pick on. Jonathan Taylor is going to miss the mark in receiving. We know that at this point in his career. He also has a bit of a minor age and injury concern now that he's over, 1,000 career carries and that type of thing. But the offense should be improved now with Anthony Richardson and Shane Steichen. Hopefully, Anthony Richardson can stay healthy. And Jonathan Taylor has elite carry upside, elite touchdown upside. The fact that he plays behind one of the best offensive lines in the league in an offense that I really do believe in to take a big step forward this year. He's a pretty solid pick in the early second round. Saquon Barkley, a lot of people have an issue with him, but I really like Saquon this year despite some of the issues of age and injury and potential goal line opportunities being stolen from him from Jalen Hurts and the fact that Jalen Hurts isn't going to check the ball down. I've addressed all that stuff, but here's why I'm not really that concerned. Number one, new offensive coordinator Kellen Moore likes to use a workhorse back and feed them as receivers. Number two, the Eagles don't pay running backs. They never have until Saquon Barkley became available. So to me, that indicates they have a great plan for him. Number three, DeAndre Swift was bad on the goal line in Detroit, was bad on the goal line with Philadelphia last year. So it's no wonder they used Jalen Hurts on the goal line the way that they did. I don't think 15 rushing touchdowns from your quarterback is something that is year over year sustainable, especially now without Jason Kelce at center. So for me, I think they're going to give more of these looks to Saquon Barkley, and that is maybe why they actually signed him. And then number four, yeah, Jalen Hurts is probably not going to check down very much, but Daniel Jones didn't check down very much either. And Saquon Barkley has still had a top 5 target share among all running backs despite playing with a mobile quarterback the last couple of years. To me, these six guys are nails. They're all top 16 players for me in redraft leagues. Perfect candidates if you want to do a hero RB and get yourself one running back upside anchor and then start hammering wide receivers, tight ends, and quarterbacks in the following picks. Now let's get into RB 7 to 12. These guys obviously are not going to project nearly as good as the ones that we talked about. Devon Achane is the ceiling swing here that everybody thinks he is. Everybody loves Devon Achane here. You're not going to hear anybody say a bad word about him. But again, the question mark is volume. Raheem Mostert's there. They drafted Jalen Wright. Volume is probably not going to be Devon Achane's friend. However, he's a second-year running back. I'm comfortable projecting a workload increase from last year, and he was, bar none, the most efficient running back in the league, has the best offensive scheme for fantasy running backs, and elite target and receiving and touchdown upside. So, while I can get caught up with the semantics of he's not going to get enough carries to hit this threshold, guess what? So did a lot of other running backs who have finished as league-winning dudes. So for me, I think he's a good bet for a volume increase, but he's probably not a 22 touch per game type of running back, but that's okay. Devon Achane doesn't need 22 touches a game in that offense with that rushing scheme, with the other weapons and the field stretchers around him and his own ability to break away, score long touchdowns, and catch a lot of passes. He has elite legendary upside, in my opinion. Kyren Williams would be a great bet to crush yet again. He was obviously the biggest league winner in fantasy last year at the running back position. However, the Rams drafted Blake Corum, a great young running back, third round pick, who does everything well. He is a good receiver, good pass protector, good in between the tackles, scored a shit ton of touchdowns at the University of Michigan. So he is probably going to take away some looks in all three facets of the game from Kyren Williams. So I don't think Kyren Williams has the ceiling that he posted last year. I do think he could still be an RB1, a solid guy, just not a league-winning running back. And for me, that type of projection with this type of issues, and now he's already kind of banged up too, he's just somebody I'm going to let my league mates draft. I don't think he's a terrible pick in the mid-round three range. I just don't want to take him before then, and I think a lot of my league mates will. So I'll just let him go to those guys, and I'll be selecting other players in that area. Derrick Henry got all the carries and touchdowns you could ask for, because in this offense, he's going to have a really, really easy time scoring. They love to run the ball in the red zone with their running backs. Gus Edwards scored 13 rushing touchdowns last year, but he does have a lot of age concerns. He does have a lot of injury concerns. He has the most touches of any running back not named Ezekiel Elliott actively in the NFL, and potentially he's fallen off from an ability standpoint. All of these are major red flags for Derrick Henry. Again, probably a future Hall of Famer, so I'm not going to doubt him too much, but his upside is probably capped at 17, 18 PPR points per game. And to me, where he's going, no thanks. I'll draft a wide receiver in that area. I'll draft Devon Achane instead in that area. I'll draft these next two guys in that area. And that is Isaiah Pacheco and Travis Etienne. These two guys, spoiler alert, are probably going to end up being the answer to this question that I posed at the beginning of this video. Isaiah Pacheco's only hangup is receiving upside. And when I say receiving upside, I mean he's probably not going to have 80 or 100 targets, but he could have 50 or 60. I wouldn't be totally shocked by that. He's in an elite offense, the best offensive line, in my opinion, in the NFL. 12-plus win projection, according to Vegas, with Patrick Mahomes, with Travis Kelce, with the new pass catchers they've brought in, Xavier Worthy, Marquise Brown, Rashee Rice, to take away attention from Isaiah Pacheco, open up the box, stretch the field, especially with those two speedsters. He was already efficient last year. He's young. He has no injury concerns. He is dead smack in the middle of his prime as a running back. Year three guy, probably looking for a big contract extension as well because he was a seventh-round pick. He's not really making that much money. Spoiler alert, like I said, he has no concerns. Outside of elite receiving upside, he can get there. He can be the next league-winning running back in this offense. He can score the touchdowns, get the carries, be efficient, be a productive guy. He's got breakaway speed too, so I love Isaiah Pacheco this year if you're taking away anything here. And Travis Etienne too. He was a stud, 20-plus point per game scorer before everything went to shit for Jacksonville last year. Before he got banged up, Trevor Lawrence got banged up, Christian Kirk got banged up. They were 8-3 in week 11, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are a really good team. Lawrence and the rest of the Jags offense, including Etienne, got banged up and collapsed down the stretch. He is a young running back, Travis Etienne. He has 80-plus target upside. Bounce back offense, in my opinion. 10-11 win projection is what I expect them to do this year. and he has no reason for concern of age or injury risk or anything like that. And just 1 year ago in 2022, he averaged 5.1 yards per carry, and he was mega, mega efficient. So don't let one down season where he was banged up and his quarterback were banged up and they had a lot of moving pieces on the offensive line get in the way of thinking that ETN doesn't have an elite ceiling, because he's in a contract year as well. I could keep going why he's a smash in round three of your fantasy drafts, round four of underdog drafts right now. But all I'll say further is that Isaiah Pacheco and Travis Etienne are two of my absolute biggest targets, regardless of fantasy football position, because these two guys are just simply undervalued. I think they should be second round fantasy picks, and they're not right now. Sometimes they go in the second round, but mainly they're early third, mid third round picks in redraft leagues. And then on underdog, they're like fourth, fifth round picks, and they're just the easiest cash of all time over there. Finally, closing out this area, we have Josh Jacobs, who's a player that I've cooled on a lot this offseason because I really did like his projection as a guy who's been an efficient workhorse in the past, goes to a much better offense, can score a lot of touchdowns, but we are getting a lot of reports that it's going to be a committee, which could be, you know, should be to expected with Matt LaFleur. The injury concern, the age concern, the touches are stacking up for Josh Jacobs. That's a real issue for him. And we know he wasn't efficient last year. And if he doesn't get a workhorse role and he's not efficient, he's going to end up being kind of a bust at his ADP. I think he's a solid, okay pick in like the fourth round if he falls that far. But in home leagues, I'll imagine he'll go a lot higher than that. And I'm probably out at those price tags. Now let's get into running backs 13 through 18. And I'll try and speed these up a little bit. Alrighty, James Cook, I see you, because James Cook, he's got a pretty decent projection if you squint here. He's got target upside with a lack of weapons in Buffalo, right? No more Stephon Diggs, no more Gabriel Davis. They could really rely on James Cook a lot more than they have in years past. He could take another step forward as a young player, right? He's only 24 years old, third year running back this season. He showed a lot of improvement from year one to two. He ended up being a really big league winner down the stretch as far as when his production came last year. It's a great offense. Josh Allen, we know he's going to get that thing moving into the red zone. It's a good offensive line, 10 plus win projection, young player, minimal concerns for injury. He's also been efficient to this point in his career, like I said, as a runner and a receiver, and coming out of college and so far in the NFL, we know that he's a great receiver. We know that he's capable of 80 plus target upside. If he could just run hot and score touchdowns, that's really the only concern for him right now, because they drafted Ray Davis, thumper running back. They have Josh Allen, scored like 15 touchdowns in the red zone last year. He's also in contention for a league winning smash this year if he can just get that red zone role on this offense, because the target upside, the carry upside, the touch upside, the efficiency, the breakaway plays, it's all there for James Cook. He just needs to score and run hot on touchdowns, score 11, 12 this year, and he can totally get there with receiving upside being the catalyst for him. Joe Mixon is Joe Mixon. I mean, I like Joe Mixon, but he's probably not going to be a league winner at this point in his career. RB1 is definitely possible given carry upside, given touchdown upside in the offense that he plays in. He probably is going to catch some passes as well, but he's older. He hasn't been efficient the past couple of years. Doesn't really have a great run blocking offensive line. Those are concerns for Joe Mixon. But again, in round five, I'm okay with him. I just wouldn't take him super, super high. Rashad White could continue his number four in the NFL weighted opportunity share that had him be one of the better picks in last year's fantasy drafts, but Bucky Irving's presence might limit him a little bit. Fourth round pick that they brought in. Run blocking offensive line was putrid last year. They've made additions to that line to make it better. Graham Barton was their first round pick at center, but his efficiency would have to go way up. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the video, efficiency stats, rush yards over expected, not sticky year over year. So it wouldn't totally shock me if Rashad White in this new offensive scheme, he's just a third year player himself. Offensive line performs a lot better this year. It wouldn't shock me if he goes from being the least efficient running back in the NFL on the ground last year to a guy that's middle of the pack efficiency wise on the ground and hyper efficient as a receiver, because we know he has super high target upside as well. So Rashad White, again, he seems like a low upside play on the surface, but if he can just fend off Bucky Irving, I don't think it's out of the range of outcomes that he finishes well above where he's being drafted, but a guy that I'm kind of just so-so on. I think he's a good pick where he's going sometimes, but in home leagues, I think he'll go a little bit too high. Kenneth Walker just flat out doesn't have the upside to be a league winner, in my opinion, unless Charbonnet were to go down, because the workload is split pretty much dead even between those two guys. He doesn't have the efficiency, at least as it currently stands. His offensive line was really bad last year, and we know Kenneth Walker, going back to his prospect profile, doesn't have a ton of receiving upside. So for me, it makes him destined to be the type of guy that you draft at RB17, and a big win for you is him finishing RB15. It's the type of guy that I don't like drafting. I like drafting wide receivers in that area of the draft because it's a small win, big loss if he ends up missing, and I will probably avoid Kenneth Walker altogether. David Montgomery would pretty much need Jahmyr Gibbs to go down to have this type of upside, because we're starting to get to a range where David Montgomery's upside is good because he's like a seventh round pick, but it's not league winner good. He doesn't have that upside unless Jahmyr Gibbs were to go down. But again, if he's on the board seventh, eighth round, and you're getting a top 12 or a top 15 running back because he scores 14 times, that's not a terrible option. But to me, David Montgomery is one of those guys that needs to slide to me round seven, round eight as a good RB2 for a hero RB build. But earlier than that, he's a big avoid, and I think he will go earlier than that in most leagues. Alvin Kamara, just a bad pick all around. I know he was really good when he came back from injury last year, but it was only on the basis of catching a lot of passes, really. He was a check down Charlie. Derek Carr was hurt. He was checking the ball down like crazy. I don't think that's going to be the same scheme that they run in this new offense with Clint Kubiak coming in. Kendre Miller was a rookie last year. He's going to be nipping at Alvin Kamara's heels to get rushing work, to get potential pass catching work as well. Alvin Kamara has not been efficient in years. He is old. He's clearly a declining player. He could be like RB11 at the end of the season and it wouldn't really shock me, but is that good? Where you're drafting him, like if you have to take him round four, round five, where he's going to go in most home leagues because he's a big name and he's been fantasy relevant for years, that is a terrible pick if he's RB11. But if he's in round eight and your league is really sharp and they don't want to draft Alvin Kamara, I think he's a fine pick at that point. It's just in home leagues, he's going to be in the RB dead zone and I don't want anything to do with him at that point in time. So let's go through the rest of these guys. RB19 through 24, Aaron Jones, Ramondre, Najee Harris, James Conner, Zamir White, and Jonathan Brooks. Again, by now, I'm not going to go one by one with these guys because, as you can see, most of these guys don't have the upside to be league winners. Doesn't mean they're bad picks necessarily. Like I said, we're getting to the area where you might be outside the RB dead zone if your league is really sharp. And in round seven, round eight, round nine, these guys aren't terrible picks, but Aaron Jones, James Conner, they're just simply too old and have offensive concerns to probably be RB1 league winning type of guys. And they have some backfield competition. Najee Harris and Zamir White are both on subpar offenses. Neither of them are really world beaters as talents. And also they have some competition for touches. And specifically with Zamir White, I don't think he's going to command a whole lot of work as a receiver. And Najee Harris, Jalen Warren's just better than him. So I don't really think he's going to command a huge workload either. If any of the two guys crush from here, it's probably Ramondre Stevenson because he's been an RB1 in years past. Drake May and Jacoby Brissett could be a huge upgrade at quarterback. We just don't know yet. Vegas projections suggest that it's probably not a huge upgrade, but I do think I believe a lot in Drake May. And if he could surprise this year, Ramondre could be a top five running back. And it's not a huge difference really from the projection we had on Ramondre last season where Mac Jones was a starting quarterback and we were still drafting him in round three of fantasy drafts. So for me, Ramondre is the one guy that I think could crush here if the offense is this year's Texans. But at the same time, I don't really think that's 100% likely. Jonathan Brooks would need Carolina to be much better this year. If Jonathan Brooks comes in and he's an elite player and he commands an elite workload, which could happen. I think Dave Canales has been vocal saying that he's going to get most of the work, but he is coming off of an ACL tear and Carolina was like putrid on offense last year. So even if they're just below average this year, I don't think Jonathan Brooks has that type of upside. They would need to really, really surprise people. Bryce Young would have to play like the first overall pick. Dave Canales has to be this offensive genius, offensive guru, and then maybe Jonathan Brooks would have that type of upside, but still good low-end RB1, high-end RB2 projection once he's back from injury, and a good upside swing at the point in the draft where he's going. Jalen Warren, DeAndre Swift, Zach Moss, Raheem Mostert, Tony Pollard, and Brian Robinson. Jalen Warren is definitely the most interesting guy here because he's a great, efficient talent, good receiver, good offensive line, young player still with minimal injury and age concerns, and also, too, he has the upside to outright beat his starter, but it's most likely going to have to come in the way of injuries. I think Najee Harris would have to go down for Jalen Warren to be a league winner, but Arthur Smith is there. He's going to want to run the ball like crazy, and I think whether Jalen Warren becomes a league winner or not, he's still a good pick where he's going because where you pick Jalen Warren, he could have 200 carries and 50 targets this year and pay off as a top 15 guy, even if Najee Harris has 220 plus carries because Arthur Smith wants to run the ball that much. And of course, we have the contingent upside that if Najee does miss some time, then Jalen Warren could absolutely be like this year's Kyren Williams. So he would be my pick for best league winning asset of this group. DeAndre Swift, Zach Moss, Raheem Mostert, they're interesting. Don't get me wrong. for their offenses because I think their offenses will all be good, but I worry about their own abilities. I worry about their workloads. I worry about the competition for touches that they have, specifically with Moss and Raheem Mostert, and some concern for injury there as well with some of those guys. Tony Pollard and Brian Robinson, probably just simply low ceiling options, unless Tony Pollard was just totally injured last year and he comes back and looks like 2022 Tony Pollard. I personally think he's a declining player, and Brian Robinson doesn't really have any three down upside. And Austin Eckler is there as well. So I probably wouldn't be drafting too much of those guys unless they fell to like round 9, round 10. And again, these guys are fine RB2s for a hero RB in this range, but you're probably not expecting a league winner. And then final group of running backs we're going to talk about here, RB31 through RB36, Spears, Singletary, Trey Benson, Javonte Williams, Gus Edwards, and Ezekiel Elliott. The most interesting here, similar to the last tier, is Tajay Spears, who is technically the RB2 on his team, but talent, efficiency, receiving upside. I don't believe in the starter, Tony Pollard. So Tajay Spears to me is one of the higher upside guys, especially with the way that I think Tennessee is going to operate their offense this year. Spears is the better pass catcher. He might be out there to catch 60, 70 passes this season. And I think even if he's not a league winner, he can really pay off at his ADP. And of course, if Pollard were to ever go down, he could absolutely crush this year. Trey Benson is obviously great. I loved him as a prospect, but I don't think he's going to command the backfield anytime soon unless James Conner goes down, which obviously limits his upside minus the fact that he's just a great handcuff. Javonte Williams, in theory, would be good, but he might not be the same player he once was. His coach speak is certainly indicating that he might be declining as a player, and Audric Estime and Jaleel McLaughlin might be eating into his workload. Devin Singletary, Gus Edwards, and Ezekiel Elliott don't have league winner ceilings because, honestly, they're just not good enough, and they're older, and they have a lot of touches under their belt. But they are three of my favorite like zero RB targets to get some early season production on your team, because I think Singletary, Gus, and Zeke all have pretty nice workloads to start the season and can give you touchdown or bust kind of RB2 production. So at the end of this video, I've gone through like 36 running backs. I've broken down all the process. If I had to answer the question, who is the next league winning running back? As in, who scores 20 plus PPR points per game this year that we don't see coming, because I expect it from McCaffrey and Bijan and Breece and those guys. My answer would be Travis Etienne as my number one pick is the next league winning running back because he has the most receiving upside. I believe in his offense. I believe in his ability. He is my number one pick for who is the next league winning running back. Isaiah Pacheco would be my number two pick because outside of receiving upside like ETN, he pretty much has everything else in spades as well. And then number three is James Cook, who outside of red zone touchdown upside, he has pretty much everything you could want as well. So those three guys are my favorite candidates to grab for like hero RBs, because if you can start your draft, for example, I'm picking at number three in my home league. If I could start my draft with CeeDee Lamb or Tyreek Hill with my third pick, and then on the way back, grab Brandon Ayuk, Chris Olave, Mike Evans, Deebo Samuel, Jalen Waddle, somebody like that. And then in round three, grab Travis Etienne as my anchor, or grab Isaiah Pacheco as my anchor, or maybe bypass those guys and then on the way back in round four, grab James Cook as my anchor. I feel like I'm really cooking with gas on a great hero RB type of build. So ideally, if you guys are taking anything away from this video, the way I'm approaching the running back position this year, as I do pretty much every year, is I like to take one, at maximum two stabs at the running back position in the first five rounds, backfilling hopefully with some later guys like Ramondre Stevenson, like Jonathan Brooks, like Jalen Warren, like Tajay Spears, like Trey Benson, like Ezekiel Elliott, like Devin Singletary, guys like that. So if you want a rule of thumb, in the first four rounds of your draft, you should probably leave with two or three wide receivers, maybe a deviation for tight end, and only probably one running back unless you get super, super lucky. And let's say you take Bijan at six and Jahmyr Gibbs falls back to you in round two, then you figure out the rest from there. But again, be careful that you don't fall behind at wide receiver. And of course, we will talk about the league winning wide receivers in the next video. So this was the most complete strategy guide I could have given you guys to selecting running backs in the early rounds of your draft. In my opinion, this series, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end is one of the most valuable that we do. And of course, it culminates into the video I did last year with my number one draft strategy overall, because this takes me hours upon hours to prepare. So if you did enjoy this video, if you got some value from it, leave a like, subscribe down below, and comment who you think is the league-winning running back this year. Like I said, Etienne, Pacheco, and James Cook are probably my picks for it. And also, if you want to show your support to the channel, You can get access to all of our rankings, all of this data, Dynasty Decisions episodes by signing up over on flockfantasy.com using the promo code FSE. You'll get 30% off, a free Zoom consultation, 7 days for free, 6 months for free when you sign up annually as well. And if you want to draft some of these guys, as I made reference to, Pacheco and Etienne are free cash on Underdog Fantasy right now. And if you want to sign up over there, it's no waivers, no in-season management. You just draft right now. $5 teams, $25 teams, whatever your bankroll can handle, you can get real legitimate practice against sharp fantasy football players so that when you go into your fantasy draft, you are overprepared. And when you sign up on Underdog, you can use the promo code FSE. You'll get $250 in bonus cash. So if you put in $50, you'll have $100 on the site to play with. And also, you'll get access to our draft guide totally for free. You'll get access to our rookie draft guide, our rookie film breakdowns, all 22 on the rookie class, as well as our redraft rankings manifesto 3.0, which has everything you'll need to dominate your fantasy draft, from our rankings, tiered rankings, last year's fantasy production, contextualized game logs where we really take a look at how good Devon Achane was, for example, when he played a full allotment of snaps. We have the risk rating series where you can really diagnose the draft based on your risk tolerance. Tons of content over there. Fantasy news of the day, always updated every single week. And also anything you'll need to win your fantasy football championship. So again, if you want access to that draft guide, either get it on Flock or get it over by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using the promo code FSE. So appreciate you guys for sticking all the way to the end of this video. Leave a like if you did. Thank you for watching, and I'll talk to you soon.